Chapter 15. My Mickey Mouse alarm clock went off at 7 and buzzed stubbornly at me until I kicked off the covers, sat up, and shut it off. I ached all over, felt stiff all over. But that sense of overwhelming exhaustion had faded, and since I was already vertical, I got moving. I got into the shower and tried not to jump too much when the first shock of freezing water hit me. I've had some practice at it. I've never had a water heater last me more than a week without some kind of technical problem coming up. And that was the kind of thing you just did not want to take chances on when you have a gas heater. So my showers were always either cold or colder. Given my dating life and the inhuman charms available to some of the beings who occasionally faced off with me, it was probably just as well. But especially when I had bumps and bruises and sore muscles, I wished I could have a skin-blistering hot shower like everyone else in the country. And suddenly, the water shifted from ice cold to piping hot. It was a shock, and I actually let out a little yelp and danced around in the shower until I could redirect the shower head so that it wasn't scalding my bits and pieces. After the initial shock of the temperature change, I leaned my aching head and neck into the spray for a second and let out a long groan. Then I said, "Damn it, I told you to stop that." Lashiel's voice murmured in a quiet laugh under the sound of the water. The sensation of phantom fingertips dug into the wire-tight muscles at the base of my neck, easing soreness away. "You should use the technique I taught you last autumn to block out the discomfort."
"I don't need to," I said, and tried for grouchy, but the heated water and massaging fingers, illusory though they were simply delicious. "I'll be fine."
"Your discomfort is my discomfort, my host," she said, and sighed.
"Literally, as all my perceptions can come only through your own."
"This isn't real," I said quietly. "The water isn't really hot. No one is actually massaging my neck. It's an illusion you're laying over my senses."
"Does it not feel soothing?" her disembodied voice asked. "Does it not ease the tension?"
"Yes," I sighed.
"What matter, then? It is real enough." I waved a hand as though trying to brush off an annoying fly from my neck, and the sensation of those strong, steady fingers retreated.
"Go on," I said. "Hands off. I don't want to start my day with a psychic cage match, but if you push me to it, I will."
"As you wish," her voice said, and the sense of presence retreated, then paused. "My host, I note that you made no mention of the hot water."
I grunted and mumbled something under my breath, ducked my head under the seemingly scalding water for a few seconds, and then said, "Did you pick up on what happened last night?"
"Indeed," the fallen angel replied.
"What was your read, then?"
There was a moment of thoughtful silence, and then Lashiel responded, "That Karen feels a certain distance between the pair of you is a professional necessity, but that she is considering that time and circumstance might someday render it irrelevant."
I sighed. "No," I said, "not that. Stars and stones, I don't want dating advice from a freaking helltart. I meant the things that attacked people at the convention."
"Ah," Lashiel said, with no trace of offense in her tone. "It was obviously the attack of a spiritual predator."
"It takes one to know one," I thought. I rolled a stiff shoulder under the hot water. "If that's true, then the attacks weren't about violence," I said thoughtfully. "Which explains what I saw in that bathroom where the old man had been attacked. Whatever did it was intent on causing fear, causing pain, then devouring the..."
"What, the psychic energy it generated in the victims?"
"That is a somewhat simplistic description," she said, "but one that is as close as I expect a mortal can come to understanding."
"What, you're a mortality bigot now?"
"Now and always," she replied. "I mean no insult by it, but you should know that your ability to comprehend your environment is very strongly defined by your belief in a number of illusions. Time, truth, love, that kind of thing. It isn't your fault, of course, but it does impose limits upon your ability to perceive and understand some matters."